It's kind of strange having a normal Wednesday night service now when going through Missions Month and through Teen Revival and all that and getting back to our regular Wednesday night service. I enjoy it, but I enjoyed having our missionaries here as well and wish that Brother Ray could be with us, but look forward to the next time he comes through. Would love to have them come and report in. So in Galatians chapter 5, I'd like you to look down at verse number 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16. In the previous month or so leading up to the Missions Month, I preached through the gifts of the Spirit and talked about the importance of the gifts that God gives to you and using those gifts for the Lord. And I'd like to take some time over the next number of weeks to talk about the fruit of the Spirit and God's working in our lives and what that should show and the evidence that we see of someone that is walking with the Lord and what that means in our lives. I want to look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. And I'm going to switch over to my lapel, guys, if you could switch me over there, please. Check 1, 2, am I on? I don't think so. I'll pull this back up until you get it then, all right? Galatians 5, verse number 16, and the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." That's a wonderful list to be on, right? That'll keep you up at night. "Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Let's have a word of prayer as we begin the lesson tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the night. Thank you for getting to be in the house of the Lord tonight with fellow believers, opening up the Word of God, and then, Lord, praying that you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Thank you again for this night. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Am I good to switch over now? All right, good. We're on. Praise the Lord. I'd like to take some time to look at the fruit of the Spirit as you see in Galatians chapter number 5 and look at maybe sometimes some misunderstandings about the fruit of the Spirit and what that means for us in these verses. And it gives us a bit of a detail in here of a few categories that it goes through. First of all, and we'll cover this in more detail in a bit, but just briefly, first we see that the Bible doesn't just say to have the fruit of the Spirit. Right? God doesn't just say, be saved, figure it out. Do it your own way. Live in the Spirit. He tells us how to have the fruit of the Spirit. We'll look at those more in detail. And I'm thankful that the Bible not only tells us what to do, but how to do it. That God tells us what He expects from us. And then God will also tell you, if you do this, if you obey, these are the blessings I'll give you. If you disobey, these are the punishments that will come upon you. And God will basically say, you choose. And in the list here, we'll look at it in a bit, but it will talk about first, I think it's interesting, that when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, God first gives us the list of the works of the flesh. You understand this, that it's not hard to have the works of the flesh in our life. You understand that, right? That's not very difficult to have the works of the flesh, but we have to work at having the fruit of the Spirit, and we'll look at what that means in a bit. But it also not only says how to have the fruit of the Spirit, but it also gives us, what is the fruit of the Spirit? In other words, what is God looking for in our lives? You know, God is pretty clear in the Bible what God wants us to do and what He does not want us to do in our lives. And I believe that God wants us to have Spirit-filled Christians. Don't you think so, church? That God wants us to have some Spirit-filled Christians. We'll get into some more details about that later on. And then in the coming weeks, we'll look at what the fruit of the Spirit is with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Too many times, as I've mentioned in the past and previous messages, too many times we are working at trying to have the fruit of the Spirit. And we say, well, I want to love more. I'm not loving like I should. You know what the answer, and I'm going to get ahead of myself here, but you know what the answer to I need to love more like Christ would love? Well, I need to go back to the Spirit. Because the Spirit helps me to love like I should. It's the fruit that comes, or the byproduct that comes of being with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, capital S as you see it there. And we see the opposite of the Spirit is the works of the flesh. Remember this, church, that every one of us are capable of any of the works of the flesh at any moment. You and I, before you think, the Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he what? Lest he fall. Before you think, I would never do any of the works of the flesh here, yes, you would, or yes, you have. Any of us are capable at any time of living in the flesh. Guess what? When you wake up in the flesh until you decide and take the actions to walk in the Spirit. Too many times we try to not walk in the flesh and we try to have the fruit of the Spirit without performing what needs to be done to have the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, we have too many fleshly Christians walking around today. You know that? Too many Christians that are saved and they're going to heaven, but walking around just living fleshly, living sinful lives and being led by the flesh and not led by the Spirit. And we think, well, what's wrong with me? We'll get to some more details of that in a little bit. But we have too many fleshly Christians. We have too many carnal Christians. But also, we have too many powerless Christians. You ever notice that? That's all right. The phone went off. He's stepping out to take care of that. But we have too many powerless Christians, right? I don't know about you, but as a Christian, don't you desire to be filled with the fruit, the power of the Spirit and have the fruit of the Spirit shown in your life? Right? I hope and I pray that's what you desire. When you have the fruit of the Spirit and the control of God in your life and God is working, I pray that people don't see me, but they see Christ. Right? And that's really what it is. So the fruit of the Spirit is really being more like Christ. Jesus Christ exemplifies everything to perfection of what the fruit of the Spirit is trying to do in our lives. You think about that like a teacher. A teacher, their duty is to try to teach the subject, the curriculum, to the students, right? And their job is to try to help them to produce things in their life. But a teacher can't make anyone learn. You can give them all the avenues to learn, but you can't really force them to learn. I mean, I guess if you're in the public school system, maybe you just try to force them along. I don't know. But you have to be teachable and be willing to grow and want that in your life. Too many times, Christians, we are working at having the byproduct of the fruit of the Spirit. Like I said before, I need to love more. I need to have more peace in my life. I'm not having a lot of peace. I'm worrying a lot. I need to work at having more peace. And if I say the word peace a lot, and if I do certain things, I'll have more peace. Peace comes from God. The love, it comes from God. It's a byproduct of spending time with the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit is not achieved through human effort, but through abiding in Christ and yielding to the Holy Spirit. If you know in John chapter 15, the famous passage about Christ saying that I'm the vine, you're the branches, he says to abide in me. In John chapter 15, verse number 4, if you want to turn there, you may. I want to read a couple of verses here about how we are supposed to abide in Christ to then have the fruit that only comes from Him. The fruit doesn't come from my works or effort. It doesn't come from someone else or another outside influence. The fruit only comes from God. In John chapter 15, and verse number 4, it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth, what's the next couple words? Much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Too many times we try having the fruit of the Spirit, being a fruitful Christian, without spending time with the Lord. The flesh and the Spirit, as the Bible says, they're contrary the one to the other. If you look here in verse number 17, It says, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. Remember that passage in the book of Romans where Paul said, the things that I would, I do not. The things that I would not, that do I. And the apostle Paul would say this, oh, wretched man that I am. What is he saying? He's saying his life is in a battle of the flesh against the spirit. You know, Christian, you're in that same battle every single day. And if you're not in the battle, you're losing the battle to the flesh, right? If you're not purposing to walk with God, you're not going to walk in the spirit. You can look like you're walking in the spirit. You can smile like you have the spirit and try to show that. But until you spend time with the Lord, you're really not going to have the fruit of the spirit upon your life. Understand this, that the works of the flesh is completely opposite of the spirit. Again, as a saved person, you have two natures inside of you, and you're going to choose which side is going to win. I want to get to a few points tonight before I preach the whole rest of my message. There's a few points I want to look through here that the Bible shows us about how to have the fruit of the spirit. And in the coming weeks, I want to look at what are the fruit of the spirits and how are they shown, or what do they mean in our lives. The first one I want to look at is down in verse number 25 of Galatians chapter 5. If you would turn back there, we'll stay in this passage for the rest of the evening. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 25, it says this, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, I skip down to the end of the chapter for this reason. To have the fruit of the Spirit, you must first of all be a Christian. I know that sounds like a no-brainer, but there's a whole lot of churches and there's a whole lot of people that profess Christianity. They take the name of a Christian, but are not truly saved. You ever met those people out and about that they say they're a Christian? They say they're saved. Oh, I go to church and I'm doing good things, and they're doing the works of a Christian, but they don't truly have salvation. And you ask them, well, how are you saved? You know, oh, I got baptized this one time. Okay, praise the Lord. But when did you get saved? Oh, I've been in church my whole life. Praise the Lord. But when have you been saved? You ever witness to someone like that? And you feel like you're going round and round and round and round and round. You're like, okay, we do not have it, you know. And by their testimony, that's not salvation. So the Bible says this, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, you must be saved first in order to walk in the Spirit. You know that passage in the book of Matthew where the Lord says, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and done wonderful works and cast out devils? I'm not quoting it word for word. And Jesus will say to them in that day, what? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never, what? Knew you. Again, too many times we're trying to do the works of a Christian. That people are trying to do the works of looking like a Christian, acting like a Christian. But doing the works of a Christian doesn't make you a saved person. Too many people think, if I go to church, I'm saved. If I read my Bible, I'm saved. If I'm a good person, I'm saved. To live in the Spirit means you must be born again, and the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. I'm not trying to get anyone to doubt your salvation, but if you have a question about your salvation, maybe that's why having the fruit of the Spirit is not going so well for you, and you seem to always struggle spiritually, and the more you strive to live a spiritual life, the more of a struggle it is. Maybe it could be that you have not ever truly settled the matter of your salvation. So I want to ask you this tonight. Can you say 100% for sure, I know 100% that I'm saved based on the Word of God, and I know I've asked Jesus Christ to come to my heart. Praise the Lord. That's the first step in order to truly walk in the Spirit and have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. At the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. Isn't that a blessing? The Comforter that comes to live and to indwell and to live inside of you, at the moment of salvation, you got the same Holy Spirit that I got, that anyone else got. You got all of the Holy Spirit. The next part of this we'll look at, does the Holy Spirit have all of you? Are you controlled by the Holy Spirit? That's another point. But you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you if you're a Christian. Now you have the opportunity to walk with God. Now you have the Holy Spirit that empowers and indwells and strengthens you to do the work of God in your life. Again, I think that's why some people that are trying to live the Christian life without being saved, why it's so frustrating. It seems like you're pressing on the gas pedal and you're just spinning the wheels and it's not going anywhere. Maybe you go back to, do I know that I'm saved? And the next thing is this, maybe some think, well, I know that I'm saved, but what am I missing about having the fruit of the Spirit in my life? Number one, to have the fruit of the Spirit in your life, you need to first of all know that you're a Christian and first of all, live in the Spirit. And then the Bible says, then let us also walk in the Spirit. That's point number two. Go back to verse number 16. The Bible says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit. What does that mean to walk in the Spirit? Capital S. Is very simply, the Bible talks several different passages about walking with God. We use that term in church, and maybe some don't fully understand what we're talking about at times. Walking with God is simply spending time with God personally every single day. Some people think, well, walking in the Spirit, well, that's going to church. No, that's not walking in the Spirit. That's being obedient to go to the house of God. Walking in the Spirit is you and God getting alone with the Word of God and saying, God, I want to know more about You. I want You to control my life. I want You to get the things out of my life that shouldn't be there. Put the things in that should be there. And then spend time in prayer confessing your sin, asking God to guide your life. That is what walking in the Spirit is all about. Christian, let me ask you this. Do you have a daily walk with God? Do you have a daily walk with God where you and God get alone in Bible and prayer every day and you say, God, I need to spend time with You. Why do I need to do that? Because I have this thing called a wicked flesh. Do you have that as well? Don't leave me here all alone. You have the same wicked flesh that I have too. And that flesh does not want to do the things of the Spirit. Remember that? You ever wanted to walk with God and it seems like your flesh is winning over and over and over again? Your thoughts, your words, your actions. It seems like the more you try to walk with God, the more your flesh is winning, winning, winning. Well, that's where you go back to walking with God. And here is a misconception with this. Sometimes we think walking with God is I spend time with God in the morning and I close my Bible and I stop praying and I got my 15 minutes into walking with God or my 30 minutes or an hour, whatever your time may be. And then you say, okay, God, I'm done walking in the Spirit now. And then we go on with the rest of our day. And we don't meditate on Scripture. We don't pray anymore. We don't ask for God's guidance in the day. See, walking with God shouldn't just be first thing in the morning, although I believe it should be. I believe that's the best way to start your day. But walking with God should happen throughout the day. Okay, you may not be able to pull your Bible out at any moment of work time, but you can pray at any time, right? You can get alone on a break time or a lunch time, or you get home and say, God, the flesh is winning. I need to get back at walking with You again today. I need a double or triple or quadruple dose of walking with You, kind of like you Starbucks or Dutch Bros people with all the espresso shots. I don't know how you function with all the espresso, and you wonder how the rest of us function without it. You should try it sometime. But walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Again, the misconception is, well, I walked with God at the beginning of the day, and then I kind of got God out of the way of my day, right? I'm done with God so I can get on with the rest of my day. No. The point is this, I walk with God at the beginning of the day so I can bring God along with me throughout my day. That's how you truly have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. You know this, when you start your day and you spend time in Bible and prayer, you know where you struggle, don't you? You know where you fail. You know where your downfalls and your mistakes, and you know where all that is. And you say, God, would You forgive me? And you confess your sin and you get that right with God. Say, God, now that I confess it, would You help me? Would You help me to control this right here? Would You help me to control this right here? And this right here, and this right here. God, would You have full control of me today? You know, submitting to God is not just something you do one time of the day or one time of your life. Again, I think that's the common misconception. Well, I walked with God at the beginning of the day, and we're good. Have you ever needed a tune-up throughout the day? Right? Have you ever needed God? Ever God ever kind of smacked you upside your head during the day and said, what are you doing? You know, it's like the day started so good and spiritual, and then it seemed like something got off track along the way, and you got to get back to time with God. Number one, we must live in the Spirit. Know that you're saved. Number two, be walking in the Spirit. Have a dedicated time of Bible and prayer every day. Have a schedule. Have some kind of a routine. Now, don't be robotic with it, but have a routine, a schedule of a time that you have with God every day, just you and God, where you tune out the world. It's kind of hard to tune out the world these days at times with all the electronics and things, but tune it out and say, God, it needs to be just me and you, because I want to have the power of God in my life. I want to have the fruit of the Spirit in my life today. Number two, walk in the Spirit. And then number three, we need to be led by the Spirit. In Galatians 5:18, the Bible says this, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Here's the thing. If you're saved and you live in the Spirit, number two, you are walking in the Spirit, spending time with God, not just one part of the day, but throughout the day. And then when you do that, do you notice how God leads you throughout the day? How about this? Do you know the times where you have not spent time with God like you should, or maybe not at all, and you know that God is not leading your thoughts, your actions, your decisions, and you go, oh no, what am I doing? You stop and say, God, I need you now. But also you know the times where you say, God, I need you today, and then God leads you throughout the day. You know what? God has something that we don't have, and that's the foreknowledge of knowing what's going to come in our day. Sometimes I used to think, well, I'd like to know what's coming up in the day. And now I think, no, I don't want to know. Lord, surprise me and just help me when it gets here, because I don't want to worry about what's going to come throughout the day. I don't want to know all the phone calls and the person that cuts me off and whatever. Just guide me, lead me, Lord, throughout the day. The Bible says, but if you be led of the Spirit, not under the law. See, when you know that you're saved, you're a child of God, and then you're walking with God every day, and you work at that relationship of spending time with God, asking for the power of God in your life, and then you say, God, lead me. God, guide me. Lord, would you direct my life? Would you lead me? You know, Christian, I hope and I pray that our desires, that every decision that we make in a day is Holy Spirit-led. Oh, isn't that your desire? That every decision that you make would be led by the Holy Spirit. That everything you watch would be filtered through the direction and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Everything you listen to would be filtered through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Again, it goes back to if you're saved and you're walking with God, and then God can lead you in your life. There's that sad passage in the book of, I'm blanking on the book now, but Samson, why Samson kept answering the women about where his strength lie and all that. But finally, when his hair was cut off and his eyes were plucked out, and that sad phrase that says, he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. How many times in our life do we leave God behind and we go about the day and we're going to go out as Samson did, just as any other times, and we're going to go to work and deal with the family and all the stuff, but we leave and then we realize we're going out powerless. We're going out without the fruit of the Spirit. We don't have God controlling and leading our lives. And then you stop at some point, unfortunately, after sometimes we make enough mistakes, and God knocks us upside our heads because we're stubborn and fleshly. And God said, hey, don't you want me to lead? How's it going with you behind the wheel instead of me behind the wheel? And you say, God, I need you to lead my life today. Christian, I hope and I pray that your desire is that God would lead your life. See, me leading my life is my flesh. And the Bible says in the flesh there is no good thing. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so, Christian, today, even as a saved person, go into heaven, you could be led by the flesh in your life. Lot, in his life, he was orphaned and raised in Abraham's home, and raised under the patriarch, the father of faith for the Israelites. And at some point, that Lot and the herdsmen, they had to split. There was too much. And what did Lot choose? He chose the well-watered plains of Jordan and pitched his tent toward Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me ask you this. Was that a fleshly decision or a spirit-led decision? Which one was it, church? That was a fleshly decision. Abraham said, whatever you go, I'll go the other direction. And he pitched his tent that direction. He was led by his flesh, not by the Spirit. And eventually, not only did it lead his flesh lead him towards Sodom and Gomorrah, but then eventually he went and he was living in Sodom and Gomorrah. He was at the gates of the city. He had raised his family there to where they're thinking. They caught on the thinking of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, I believe it was, that Lot vexed his righteous soul from day to day. That he got away from God so far, he was so backslidden away from God that there was no spiritual leading in his life. It was all being led by the flesh, and he let the flesh take over. It's sad to see Christians that once lived for God, know they're saved, once lived for God, walking with God, but now are so backslidden and so far away from God. I don't know, and you don't know, but I kind of think, I wonder if they're saved. I wonder if they know that they're going to heaven because of the decisions that led them so far away from God. I don't know their salvation any more than you do. That's between them and the Lord. But the question is this, could a saved person backslide, be led by the flesh, and get so far away from God that they're living just like any worldly, fleshly person in this world? Yes, it could. And you know what, Christian, that could be the case for you or for me. That we are capable of any of the works of the flesh, but I pray and our desire would be that we would be led by, we'd be walking in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, so that we can then have the fruit of the Spirit. Remember this. The fruit of the Spirit isn't this. Lord, help me to love more and help me to have joy more and peace more. And I believe we can pray for those things. Nothing wrong. But when you walk with God the way you should, and when you spend time with God as you should, and I should, the byproduct of being of walking with God and being led by the Spirit, the byproduct is the fruit of the Spirit. It's a package deal that comes along with it. Our ultimate example as a Christian is Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, that's a pretty lofty goal, isn't it? That I should have the mind of Christ? I think, man, I'm never going to get there. But that's our goal. Jesus Christ was our example in every one of these areas in our life. And it should be our desire. We'll look at some of the fruit of the Spirit in the coming weeks, that we would desire for God to lead our life, to guide our life, so we'd have power to be used by God. But then also is this, when you're walking with God and you're led by the Spirit, others see that in you, don't they? And you see that in others, don't you? I'm humbled and challenged by other Christians of great faith that you get around them. And they don't have to say it, but you just know they've been walking with God. You know that they've been spending time with God and in Bible and prayer, and they're led by God, and they have such a closeness with God that they are just led by the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit just exudes in their life. It's shown in their life, and it doesn't it point you more to Christ when you get around them? And you think, man, what a great Christian, what a great faith, what a great love and joy that they have because they've spent time with God. And I believe the more that you walk with God and the more that God leads you in your life, the more of the fruit of the Spirit is shown in and through your life. Not so that I can be lifted up, but so that He can be lifted up, right? That should be our desire. If I walk with God, I can point people to Christ better so that when they look at you, they see Christ in and through your life. Again, we can work at having all the fruit of the Spirit, but if you're not walking with God, if you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not going to have the fruit that comes with it. I want to encourage you, Christian, this week and challenge you about this and ask yourself this question. At the end of each day, did I walk in the flesh or did I walk in the Spirit today? Throughout the day. And I'm sure the answer is going to be yes to both of those, right? Yes, there was times I walked with God and I was led by the Spirit. And yes, there was times, unfortunately, where I was led by the flesh, and you confess and get those right. But at the end of the day, that you'd ask God, was I led by the Spirit today? Did I have the fruit of the Spirit in and through my life? Or what if you tried this one? This one could be humbling. Ask your spouse or your children. and say, did I have the fruit of the Spirit today? Did I point you more to Christ today? And you're like, I don't want to ask that. Yeah, probably neither do I, yeah, a lot of times as well. There may be a reason why, because we may be worried what the answer could be. But more importantly than that, ask God. God, did I please you today? Did I walk with you today? Did you guide my decisions today? And God will tell you the answer to that question if you truly ask Him. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this night.